Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31 deals with the subject matter of the virtuous woman. I always get my money's worth when I go to a bookstore, and my wife is worse than I. For when we go to a bookstore, before I buy a book, I read half of it, and I put 3/4 of them that I look at back on the shelf, and therefore I read more free than I buy. And as I was looking for a book in a particular field, like they were right down the street here, it used to be called the Armory, it's now called the Family Bookstore. I was dealing in the woman's section, and this was a couple of years ago, and they had literally 50 books on telling women how to be good, godly, and honorable women. And as I was going through them, some titles immediately caught my eye. One of them was the title, Proverbs 31 and Other Impossible Dreams. If you're familiar with Proverbs 31, you understand her language. I took it and I read about half of it, and I put it back on the shelf. But I did enjoy it, and she did have some good insights. But this particular portion of Scripture was written by a man named Lemuel. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And Lemuel may be Solomon. It may be a name which the mother called him, a gift from God, Lemuel meaning. At any rate, whether it's actually Solomon that wrote it, or whether it's Lemuel, who may be another king, wrote it, it's really immaterial. The lesson's good and the lesson's clear. In this lesson, it is written in 22 verses. Each one of the verses began with a number, or rather a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each one of them is written in rhyme. And the purpose, it's not in English, but it was in Hebrew. And the purpose behind this, every young lady among the Hebrews memorized this portion. Written in rhyme for easy memorization. Each letter of the alphabet so you could remember the order. And I thought, that's a good idea to have every young lady memorize the virtuous woman and try to repeat her. John Gill, as I was studying some for this particular presentation, I thought I'd read John Gill, and John Gill saw the impossible dream also, and he said, this must be a picture of the bride of Christ. And he took this, and every lesson he pictured some attribute of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a wonderful lesson to wives and to mothers. Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil, that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth her meat to her household, a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and calleth her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. I've tried to preach from this text of Scripture before, but the first time I ever heard this particular text preached on was at a funeral at Bethany Church. I hadn't been at Bethany very long until the mother of two of the ladies of our church, both Virginia Cole and Mary Sorrells, their mother, passed away. And the funeral was at Old Bethany. And Elder Roy Spear and myself preached the funeral. I'd never preached with Roy before this time. And Roy chose this particular text and pointed out the things in her life that were in parallel to this text. And I remember watching those sisters cry in each item that was brought out. And what an epithet to anyone at her funeral. The first thing that is described in this text is a general description and the value of the virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? The term virtue here doesn't really mean chaste. It means strength. Strength of character. It means one that's not wayward in the sense of changing on a regular basis, but whose heart is set toward her husband and her household. That's the virtuous woman's first description. And it says, who can find a virtuous woman? In other words, it's a rarity that's found. One whose heart is set toward her husband, toward her family. This is a woman of character and one of strength and one difficult to find. They're rare like the ruby's rare. And in the rarity and in the quality comes the value. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. When he's gone away, he feels absolutely confident that the decisions that she makes will be for the benefit of her household. He has confidence in her. He safely trusts her. He realizes that her affections are toward him and not to another. Therefore, he does safely trust in her. And this next line, I have solely, I don't remember a wedding that I've had that I don't use this. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I really enjoy weddings. I do. And those that know me know I enjoy weddings. And one of the reasons I enjoy weddings is because I love to see the freshness of a love of a young man and a young woman for each other. But in this text, it shows the perseverance of that love. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This speaks of that love and that warmth that a wife has for a husband continually. You see, Hollywood has sold us a bill of goods and Americans been buying. And they look at love as that romantic feeling that you first have when you see somebody of the opposite sex, which really excites you. And when the excitement's gone, you think the love is gone. But love is an act of commitment and an act of the will. And here it, this virtuous woman, she is committed to this man all the days of her life. And a good wife is without question the greatest influence on a man, either good or evil, that he will ever have above anything else in his life. The influence of his wife is paramount. Whether they think so or not, it is. And I know wives don't think that when they speak to their husbands, that their husbands listen. But they do. They may not sometimes act like it, but they listen. And therefore, I would commend to every lady here that you would be as described in the text, that you'll do him good and not evil all the days of your life, that he would have no need of spoil. Spoil is when you go out and conquer another and take that which he has. He knows he safely has at home all that is needed for his life. He will safely trust in her. Well, this is the description. The largest portion of this text is talking about the character of this virtuous woman. And it's an in-depth discussion. It begins with verse 13 and it goes through verse 27. And I began to divide this thing up and I really found so many points, I don't have time to give all of them. And probably you ladies are glad that I don't have time to give all of them. But I want us to look at it and consider it and notice. A preacher's job and responsibility is to preach the truth from Scripture. And that's his obligation. And sometimes it's not always a joyous obligation from the standpoint, because nobody ever measures up to all of what Scripture teaches. True of a husband, true of a wife. But it does give the lesson that we are to strive for. And this virtuous woman is quite a woman. The first thing that I want you to notice about this woman and her character is that she majors in her household. Her life is her house. Let's just lift a few verses from that. Look first at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not of the bread of idleness. A woman's role is to look after first her household. Now, I want us to go to the New Testament and to some other text of Scripture to try to lift this up so that we can get a better picture of it. First, turn to Proverbs 14 and verse 1. Proverbs 14 and verse 1. In Proverbs 14 and verse 1, it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. It there speaks of a wise woman that's first concern is to build up her house. And this is talking about her household, her family, her husband, and her children. This is her first line of duty. Let's go to the New Testament, and we can find this lesson taught there as well. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we find the Apostle Paul giving one of three letters to a pastor. And in this lesson, he's giving here a lesson to Timothy that he would give lesson to the membership of his flock. Verse 14, chapter 5, 1 Timothy, chapter 5, and verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, get none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, the younger women, when they marry, they're to bear children, they're to guide the house, that they wouldn't give a basis for the devil to bring reproach or to speak reproachfully to that particular hall. Let's also look at it in Titus. Titus, next book over, or two books over. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. In Titus 2, verses 3 and 4, that the aged women likewise, that they be behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, one of the tragedies of our modern society, and it really began with World War II. When World War II took place, and our boys, by the millions, went overseas, there was much of the labor at home that needed to be done, and a lot of the women really filled in the opportunity to have a job and to leave the home. Right now, 40% of the workforce is made up of women. And many of the women have left the home and gone to the workforce. And it's caused a great tragedy in our homes. Now let me preface this with saying, I realize, even in this congregation, there are many women that have had to work because of special circumstances. And my heart goes out to you. And many have done a wonderful job in the rearing of your children. But when I counsel every married couple that comes into my office, I always preface when we get into the areas of finances. Do not obligate yourself for a house and cars that will take two incomes, so that when the children come, you'll be able to look after the children. For no one will care for those children like a mother will. They just won't. Nobody will. And the Bible places that responsibility first and primary upon mothers. They are to be the keepers of home. And this virtuous woman is one that her first concern was for her household. Let me go another direction the same way. In earlier days, especially when we had an agrarian society, men stayed home, and when the boys got older, they worked side by side, learning the trade with a father. And sometimes the fathers are gone, unnaturally so, because of business that causes them to travel. And today, our society is so structured that much of what is taught in Scripture is more difficult for us to fulfill. Let us major in majors and take care of our homes and revert back to the responsibility that God has given us in the care of our homes. It is a God-honoring and godly responsibility for mothers in particular to care for their children. The second thing that we'll notice about these wonderful ladies that are described as virtuous is the industry. Now, there are so many verses that teach industry here that it's a delight to read. First, verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. No one had to prompt her. She was looking for the opportunity to be diligent in working with her hands. Look at verse 14. She's a shopper. She takes well what income they have and lives within it. And she does such a good job of shopping. She's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She wants as much variety as possible within the means that she has. I love verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. I was eating a meal with one of the couples in our church. It's an older couple, and we were talking about getting up and having breakfast, and he turned to me and he says, "My wife and I made an agreement. You get up and fix me breakfast, and I'll go out and work real hard." And it's been that way for 50 years, and that's pretty good. I think that's a good way to go about it. Notice verse 16. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. Industry. Notice this is a field which is right next to her. And she actually goes out. Oh, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She's not afraid of hard work. She perceived that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She not only gets up early, she stays up late. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. She continues in verse after verse and shows her industry. Verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. She wants to add to the family's income, and therefore at the house she makes some fine clothing, and she makes girdles, which are belts, and she delivereth those to the merchants in order that these can be sold to add to the income that she has. Strength and honor are her clothing. She rejoiceth in time to come. She is not idle. She worketh with great diligence. I want you to notice this. And I want you to pass this one up. She's caring for a household. She's being industrious. But she looks out for the poor and for the needy. She reaches out to others that don't have. And what a delight and what a joy it is that I could name out some very diligent and hardworking mothers that are faithful to go to those that are having less than they, are in particular distress in the hospital, are widowed, and they, in the midst of the rearing of their children or their difficult time of life, just load up their little crowd and they go to visit those that are hurting. Look at the lesson that's found here. She's one. Look at verse 15. She first gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now this is a king's mother. So she's a woman of means. And she's got maidens that are working for her. But she doesn't just take her household. She also spares and gives those to her maidens. Look at verse 20. She stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. Let me give you a lesson here. Ministry is an obligation that falls to all of us. And as mothers of children, one of the best ways you can teach your children while they're yet in your home to minister is you actually carry your children when you minister. There are people that are in great need all about us if we'll just look. We'll find individuals that are in the hospitals that we know, in nursing homes. And take your children to show that you're willing to reach outside of your confines unselfishly. When it says she reaches forth her hands to the poor and to the needy, the term hands there is a more vivid term than described. It's an open hand. It's not a closed hand. It's an open hand that you're willing to serve others. In other words, every mother's more than just a Mary that worships. They're a Martha that serves. It's a twofold application that is here given of this virtuous woman. She reaches forth her hands to the poor and to the needy. And at the same time, she's training her children how to do the same thing. And this lesson's taught all over the Scripture. Let's just turn to a couple of them. Turn to Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. And when they're criticizing Job for his evils, he begins to defend himself and some of the things that he does. And he does by showing his love and his concern for other people. And he shows where he is one that reaches out to the poor and to the needy. And would you believe I wrote down the wrong scripture for this? And I'm going to have to apologize, so I'll just have to tell it to you because it's not Job 28, 12 and 13. But he describes himself as one that reaches out to the widow and to the fatherless and gives to those that have not, showing that this is godly behavior. And I'm sorry I can't come right to that one for you, but I'll give it to you another time. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 and 8, I think that one's correct. But at any rate, in that verse, it teaches the same lesson that we're to reach out to those that are needy. In the New Testament, they went to a funeral of one called Dorcas. And when they got there, everybody that came to the time of mourning around her dead body, they brought with them things that Dorcas had made. It's described in Acts chapter 9. This was a lady that was reaching out to the needy that were all about her. And they were in turn praising her. This virtuous woman is one that reaches out to the poor. I want you to notice this one. Proverbs 31 and verse 23. She promotes her husband. Her husband is known in the gates. The gates is where people did their business. It's also the place where the government was held. So it's where the decision of the councils were made. when he sitteth among the elders or senators in the land. In today's modernist movement, some of the women think that their purpose is to be served, and it is the purpose of the man to honor his wife. The Bible teaches that. Give honor unto the weaker vessel. But we'll find that when woman was created, he said, I will make thee a helpmeet. And it is the female that takes the man's name. And she wants to give him honor and love and submission. And this isn't my opinion. It's the clear teaching of Scripture. And the term submission there, which is described in Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 3, does not mean inferiority. It just means in rank. But it goes back to doing him good all the days of your life. She desires to give him honor. She desires to promote him and be a helpmeet to him. There's also in verse 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. This speaks of the gentle nature of a lady, of the virtuous woman, that she speaks in a manner that it's a manner of wisdom, of great charity, and of great love. You'll find where in Proverbs chapter 21, Proverbs 21 and verse 9, let me give you a contrast to this. In Proverbs 21 and verse 9, it says, it's better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, here's the lesson. Forgive me, this is kind of pictorial here. But it's a man that goes home and it's talking about living with a woman that's always nagging. You know, one that's always complaining, brawling. And the wise man Solomon's, and he had 1,000 wives. If anybody knew, he ought to know. But at any rate, he said, it's better. And by the way, I don't advocate Solomon's as the example in that. But he said, it's better to be on a housetop by yourself than in a great mansion with a woman that's upset. And I understand. But the virtuous woman is a description of one whose voice is a law of wisdom. She speaks from God's vantage point. And sometimes that can sting. But it's also a law of kindness, gentleness, warmth, compassion. May her tribe greatly increase. Then it describes the benefits and the blessedness of the virtuous woman. Verse 28, 29, 30, and 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Let me stop here for a moment. I guess it's the nature of young men and young women when they get a certain age, and it varies. When they get a certain age, and it's probably a sign of great immaturity, they see very little value in their parenting or in the generation that preceded them. I remember I was that way. When I first came to the knowledge of grace, I was a little upset that my mother and father didn't teach me some of those lessons. But my mother and father didn't know him. I remember when I began to see some faults in my own father. And really, at the time, I found very little to compliment. I look back upon my mother that we put in a nursing home just a few days ago. And I remember the mother. Whenever I was hurting, she was right there. When it came to any special event or any honor that was bestowed upon her son, whether playing in a football game or graduating from a high school or college, she was right there. I remember growing up and the diligence that she taught me in virtue and honesty and integrity and cleanliness. I remember when times got rough in my own home, and she said, "Doesn't matter what happens between me and your father, I'm going to stay right here till you children are all raised. I want you to always have a mom and daddy right here with you." She was always there. She may not have had all the scriptural insights I wanted her to have or to teach me the sovereignty of God. She taught me some things that were absolutely vital to my future and to the love of my wife. And I'll rise up and I'll call her blessed. And I would encourage, especially the younger men and women, as you look back on those that have raised you, there are some wonderful things they gave you. We ought to encourage them. And sometimes we get blinded to those aspects which have been so wonderful and generous to us when we could not help ourselves. Or during those times, we didn't even know the sacrifices that were made. And when you turn to this virtuous woman, you'll find her sacrifices were made for her household. And she often made decisions that you might not have understood, but you weren't there. Or you weren't of age to understand the decisions that were being made. You remember the love and the direction that was shown you by a loving mother. Oftentimes we look back and we say, "You were too restrictive with us. You didn't give us enough liberty." That was done for your benefit. May God bless us and the young ones that are coming on. And you know, I'm right in the middle of this thing. I've got grown kids and now I've got little kids again. So I'm going through both of these things. And I understand. And I understand the difficulties that both face. But let us rise up and call our mothers blessed. For what benefit and what joy we've been granted. Her husband also praiseth her. A woman needs the appreciation of her husband. She does. And she needs that more than she needs it from anybody else. May God bless us to be better husbands and recognize the virtues that our wives have. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Now, I am glad. When I was looking for a wife, I'll have to admit, I wasn't looking for virtue. I was looking for beauty. And the Lord blessed me to get both of them. May we, when we're looking, if there just happens to be anybody in here that's looking, virtue, strength, godliness, character is far more value than beauty. Because you can say what you want. Beauty is fleeting. I told my wife how pretty she was this week, and she said, "I'm glad your eyes are failing." Well, beauty is more than the ravishing beauty of an 18 or 20 year old. And by the way, I'm not throwing off on the 25 and the 35 and the 45 and the 85. Please forgive me. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Look for a woman that loves and fears the Lord. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Let me make something here also that needs to be clearly understood. I taught school, and I dearly loved teaching school. And forgive me, and I'm stating this wrong, and I know it. I was proud of the way I taught my kids. I mean, I did. Now, I'm sure I wouldn't compare with Sister Melvin over there, but I did everything but stand up and spit out wooden nickels to get their attention. I dug into everything I could dig in to bring out something that was clear. And a man came in to evaluate my teaching. And then I was called into a group of my peers to be judged. And I was young. I was 24 years old. 25 years old. And they asked me if I thought I was a good teacher. I said, "Yes, I'm a good teacher." And I began to describe some of the things that I did. And then the person that came to evaluate me, who sat in my class for a full week, then it was his turn to say what he wanted to say about me. He said, "I'd tell you all the good things he's done, but he's already told you." And he quoted Scripture. He said, "Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips." He was giving me my own stuff. But he was right. Let's never brag about what we've done as a husband or a wife, as a mother or a father. Let us let our own works praise thee. Went to see my mother a few weeks ago, and every time I get over there, I feel bad because it's so far over there, and I got so much to do, and so many people to see, I just don't have the time to go. And I try to go every other week. I first was going to go every week, and I just couldn't afford that much time away from Atlanta. And so I sometimes go once a month. But when I was there, I apologized to my mother in front of my brother and some people that were in the room for not being more attentive. And she looked up and tears welled up in her eyes. And she says, "I've got the best boys in the world." It's good to be called a boy sometimes. And she says, "I know how much you love me and care for me." And she just grabbed my hand and put it next to her face. And of course, I felt all the worse for things I hadn't done. Thank you, mothers, for caring for us when we couldn't care for ourselves. And to mothers, let me encourage you to be faithful and honorable and do things you know you ought to do. And maybe God and children will overlook your shortcomings as they overlook mine.